Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Stadium Journey podcast. Thanks for listening. Is that a New England accent? Podcast. Anyway.
Wicked podcast.
That's wicked awesome, this podcast.
The wicked awesome podcast.
And, you know, nobody from this area actually really talks like that.
No, no, not at all.
All right. Check out our website, stadiumjourney.com. We are the world leader in sports travel information. We've got reviews of over 2,500 stadiums from all around the world. Social media, we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, and more. Find us at Stadium Journey. Like, share, follow. If you would like to find other episodes of the Stadium Journey podcast, and after you listen to this one, you'll absolutely want to listen to more, simply type in HIAC Talk Radio Network. Wherever you look for your favorite podcasts, you'll find us there. And to view, if you'd rather watch the podcast instead of just listen, check out our YouTube channel. Once again, that's Stadium Journey. And if you want to be part of our studio audience, we record almost every other Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern across our buddy Dan's vast social media empire.
Vast social media
empire. Yes.
I love when you say that.
Yeah. It sounds so awesome, doesn't it?
It doesn't. It doesn't mean crap, but there you go.
Well, it's like 100
just
different
wait till the stories. Empire strikes back. Is that when Dan gets kicked off of Twitter? Is that the Empire Strikes Back?
Is that the Elon Strikes Back? Is that
Elon
what's going
Strikes
on?
Back.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take a minute before we get going and introduce the whole gang. Well, most of the gang. Dave Cotney's here. Follow him online at ProFan9. Mark Viquez will be along shortly. You can follow him online at Ballpark Hunter. And then the above average comedians here, Dan Calachico. Follow him at DanLaw83. And I am Paul Baker. You can follow me at PuckmanRI. And let's see, we are recording this episode on April 1st, but we don't plan to do any fooling around today. Instead, we are going to talk about some of the biggest fools in the wide world of sports. You're welcome. So, hey, look at this. Dan, this new setup is pretty cool, man. I'm getting like a sports ticker thing going on.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if the listeners can see that, but yeah.
Oh, I don't get that.
You gotta know where to find it.
It's right there.
Yeah,
and the Red Wings just scored.
Hey, wait, is that good?
I don't know, but I'm getting my ADD triggered here. I don't know where to look.
Are you? Well, there you know.
All right, so our subject today on April Fool's Day are the biggest fools in sports. So we were gonna have Mark lead off, but he's not here. So the heck with him, Dave. Who's a fool to you, man?
Who's a fool? Big fool.
Besides our crew here.
Well, I mean, I got to give a shout out to a big fool being Rogers communications for my internet being down right now. And I'm having to tether off of my phone and with my laptop. So if I disappear, Rogers is the biggest fool going. So actually I'm not going with a single person. I'm going with a whole bunch of fools, like a lot of fools, like a lot of entitled, self-indulgent, the world revolves around me fools. And these are a lot, not all of course, but many college athletic directors and presidents. So we're at the precipice of conference expansion, right? Come September, the SEC is going to expand. The Big Ten is going to expand to numbers that are really dumb that we didn't really need that to be that huge.
How many teams in the Big Ten? 23.
I think it's going to be 18, 16 or 18, something like that.
So they're the Big Ten.
I think it's 18.
Big 18?
The Big 18, yes. But, I mean, out of all of the conference realignment, probably what the worst part of it is that the Pac-12 is just non-existent anymore. Yeah. And if you think about it, it's kind of funny because all of the professional leagues, they're just hell-bent on having East and West. And in the finals, it must be East versus West. But in college, There is no more West. West is now middle.
And, good point. And, you know, we're not just talking about like big sports like basketball and football. We're talking about field hockey.
Yes, all of them.
And Rutgers field hockey now has to travel to UCLA every year or something like that.
I know. It's pretty kind of ridiculous. But even beyond the conference expansion has been like what I see is like the side effects, right? And it's almost like they're looking at the NCAA as this ship and it's sinking and all the little rats are scurrying around to try and find the highest spot. And outside of the Pac-12 dissolving, essentially, I mean, you know, how many teams in the Big Ten? You know, how many teams in the Pac-12? Well, it's two. It's Oregon State and Washington State. And
are they still clinging to that lifeboat, to use your ship analogy?
They are still clinging to the lifeboat. But I'd like you to go back in the Stadium Journey archives, because I called this. I said that Oregon State and Washington State were going to be left out in the cold because, you know, Corvallis, Pullman, meh, who cares, right? But the other parts that I really dislike, so...
If we had an intern, Dave, we would check that out for you.
Yeah, get an intern. They don't cost anything, apparently. So
you don't pay... No, that will cost money if I have to go through those.
Oh, okay, whatever. That. I have no idea. So we just had, like, the college football playoff, which was four teams. And was it controversial? Of course it was, because, you know, they had to put in Alabama because, you know, Alabama, even though they lost more games than Florida State did. And Florida State was left out. So, you know, well, we're going to have 12 teams now, which I'm not necessarily sure is a good thing. Before we even have 12 teams, the Big Ten and the SEC get together and say, well, no, this isn't, we need to, after we start with 12 teams, we need to have 14 teams right away. And probably the biggest kicker in that was that they were demanding three spots for each conference for the Big 12, the Big Ten and the SEC, and automatic buys for the conference champion. So, I mean, we're getting out of competition, right? We're getting out of competition and into money. I mean, this is all about money, right? That's all it is. It's about money. And to take it even further in this time of year, so we're in the heart of March Madness, and March Madness has been great. I'm wearing a Purdue Boilermakers hat today, not because they're fools, but because I'm supporting, you know, Toronto's own Zach Edey and Purdue's berth in the Final Four, and that's who I picked in my bracket to go all the way. But the power conferences are threatening to leave the tournament, and what they want is more teams in, which I think is completely ridiculous. So you have some of these coaches who are saying, well, there's not enough SEC. Tom Izzo, there's not enough Big 12 teams. We shouldn't have automatic mid-major teams. You know, mid-major conferences shouldn't get an automatic bid because, you know, we need to see the ninth team in the Big 10 make it. Nobody cares about the ninth team in the Big 10. But everybody cared when Oakland beat Kentucky.
Absolutely.
And Indiana State, everybody cared if they had made it.
Well, they didn't make it, so.
Well,
but the NIT, is actually.
Indiana says they should have made it, and we got screwed over by having them put Virginia. So you're right. It's great to see Oakland upset, but, you know, Indiana State could have had a great run, and God only knows what that could have done to the campus and the basketball program. But you're right. I don't want to see a 17-13 seventh best team and then the Big East or whatnot in there.
Unless,
they're saying the exact same thing in Rhode Island about Providence College.
Yeah. No, you're right. And like Seton Hall's another one too. Okay, go ahead.
Unless it's North Carolina State. And I want to see North Carolina State. Why? Because they won their tournament to get in. Right? If they don't win the tournament, they don't deserve to be in there. But they won the conference tournament, they deserve to be in there. And let's face it, the first 2 days of March Madness are all about the upsets. It's about Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue. It's about who beat Virginia a couple years ago. It's those upset teams. And I'm sorry, but power conferences do not get the Cinderella treatment. They don't have that same feeling. You know, if they go to 96, it's going to be like the NIT before the NCAA tournament. Nobody's going to care. I mean, and then you get like Florida State and Clemson, who are pissy that they have to pay if they want to get out, because they have these big, huge, multi-million dollar exit fees, right? So they're going to sue the ACC to get out of the conference. It's just a disaster. It's all about the money. And the reality is absolutely none of this is for the beneficial for the students. None of this is beneficial for the athletes. And to me, most of all, it's not beneficial to the fans. Fools. They're fools. What do you got?
Well said. All right. I have a couple of different foolish people or groups that I'm going to bring up, but I'm going to start with an individual. Since you talked about a group, I'm going to talk about an individual. And this might be a little hyperbolic, and for those of you who live in Boston, you know why I use that word. But has there been an athlete in recent memory who has fallen from grace faster or harder than one Mr. Curt Schilling?
You know.
reason Curt Schilling came to mind before this show is opening day at Fenway Park is going to be next Tuesday. And it has been 20 years since the Red Sox famously broke the curse. So, and also Tim Wakefield passed away this past year. So they're taking the occasion to honor the 2004 world champions and the memory of Tim Wakefield.
The wrong one died.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh. Yeah, Tim and his wife both passed away this offseason, both from cancer. Jesus. Right within a few weeks of each other. Yeah, it was very sad. Tim Wakefield and his wife, I can't think of his wife's name, Karen, I want to say, but that may
I'll
not
look
be
it
right.
Up in a second.
But they were very, very ingrained in the local community with the Jimmy Fund and Red Sox charities and so forth. But anyway, before opening day, they're going to honor the 20th anniversary of the World Series team, Stacy. I knew I didn't have the name right. I apologize, Stacy.
Sorry.
They're going to honor the team and the Wakefields, and everyone's going to be there
except
Curt Schilling. Now. Curt Schilling should be one of those guys in New England who should never have to buy a drink for the rest of his life. He was an integral part of that championship team. We all remember the bloody sock. But the flip side of Curt Schilling is he's a dick.
There's no other way to put it, and this is not only politically. So for those that are like, well, you're just – no, there's much more to it before you even scratch the political surface.
Right.
So I just want to preface that. I know exactly where this is going. Go ahead.
Right.
There are many other ways to put that, by the way.
What's that?
There are many other ways to describe Curt Schilling other than a dick.
Yeah,
but there are. We'll keep this kind of PG-ish.
I was gonna say, because the word I was gonna use was not PG, but never mind.
Yeah. But and if you talk to his teammates, it's all come out in the years that he played for the Sox and since, that he was not one of the more popular guys on the team. But the lore of Curt Schilling should be bigger than life. The bloody sock game. And his career, you know, he's not a Hall of Fame pitcher, he's a borderline Hall of Fame pitcher. But one of the greatest clutch performers of his generation. If you take in the playoffs and what he did in Arizona, what he did in Boston, I hope that's not me making those noises.
I'll give you a guess.
He should be. He should be, like I said, one of those guys who never has to buy a drink in Boston ever again. But he kind of shot his way out of town. First, he started a business, a video game business, and the state of Rhode Island foolishly gave him millions of dollars to start 38 Studios, which promptly and predictably went out of business within a couple of years. And directly or indirectly, that led to the departure of the Paw Sox.
What?
Because after giving all that money to Curt Schilling, the Rhode Island legislature did not want to give the money to the Paw Sox, who were a Rhode Island institution there for 50 years, paid all their bills. So they didn't want to put up the money again to build a new stadium for the Paw Sox. Paw Sox left town, left the state. I'm not blaming Curt Schilling for that. I'm blaming the Rhode Island politicians for that. But the deal that they gave Schilling set the table for the climate that ended up being the Paw Sox leaving town. But probably the biggest reason why Schilling is not going to be part of the festivities next week at Fenway Park is we were talking about the Wakefields. Tim Wakefield knew he had cancer. This was not a it was not a surprise announcement, but the Wakefields had kept it all very quiet, very hush-hush. They did not want this leaked out to the public. Somebody went on.
Oh, son of a God. Sorry.
Went on a podcast and spilled the news that Tim Wakefield was gravely ill.
Wasn't me.
He passed away less than a week later. So a dying teammate's last wish, he ignored it to make it all about himself. So that was really the final straw that kind of made him persona non grata up here.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, clarification. So you said that Curt Schilling's not going to be at opening day.
No.
Is it because he is choosing not to be in at opening day or because he was not invited?
He was invited. He chose not to come because he knows what's going to happen if he shows up at Fenway.
Gotcha.
What's going to happen?
He's not going to get a warm reception.
Well, then shut the hell up. Maybe you should have thought about that before you took one of your supposed friends and teammate and literally violated the one thing he asked for before he died.
Yeah. And of course, he's made it all about himself and about his politics and that this has all been blown out of it because he's very staunch.
Well, they all say that. Kevin Sorbo, the same thing.
Yeah,
Kevin Sorbo doesn't have any jobs in acting because I don't know if you know this, guys. He's not a good actor.
No.
So my first nominee as a fool, Mr. Curt Schilling.
Well, yeah.
It's a shame that they're going to have 23 players there next week.
So just to play devil's advocate, and I had experience with watching Curt Schilling as he's Philly for a long time.
One of those guys who thinks he was smarter than everybody else in the room because he could throw a baseball fast.
But did he ever comment if he meant to do it? Did he defend himself or did he blow it off because I'm Curt Schilling?
That was it pretty much was everybody's making a big deal out of this because of my politics.
No, no, Curt, no, 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 no.
Go ahead. That's the thing about cancer. I've had two friends who passed away of it, and you either keep it private or you're open about it. And if you're private about it, you don't want the pity. You don't want people coming up and ask you questions about it. You want people to know about it after the fact.
Yeah, and I think the timing that when he leaked it, it was the end. It was Tim's last couple of days. Instead of being able to go on his terms peacefully and privately with his family, and
that's right.
As he has a wife who's also battling it at the same time,
Jesus Christ.
It all became about the media circus now. Tim Wakefield's got cancer. Oh, my God. Tim Wakefield's going to die soon. Oh, my God. And none of that should have happened.
It reminds me of Freddie Mercury. The day before
he died, he had to come out and say, I have AIDS, because the terrible, if you think the American press is bad, doesn't hold a candle to the British press. They're vapid. Is vapid a good word for it?
Were they holding a candle in the wind?
Vapid would be, yeah, vapid's a word, but that means like kind of vanilla, not exciting.
No, C word then.
Very true.
I'll go with that. Which I'm saying sarcastically, ironically, because they're English. They're bad. And they were leaking it. So he was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to die. And he died the next day. All you had to do, Mark, your microphone, come on, man. All you had to do was just say sorry. Like, my bad.
It slipped. I really shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
Just lie. Say, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to say that. My bad. And then move on.
People don't apologize, you know. And again, we know that Schilling's a big fan of Trump, and that guy's never apologized for anything.
Yeah.
Well, why should he?
What? I mean, it's hard to argue that. It's hard to argue that fact. Because literally, that's what happens. That sucks.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah. It was a big deal up here.
Yeah.
Very big deal up here. Yeah. I imagine.
Yeah, I heard it on and on WFAN, and you know, they're like, really?
Jesus.
That's not public knowledge? Why would you say that? But
I mean, things can slip, and I understand that. But yeah, like you said, Mark, come clean. Oh man, I didn't mean to say that. That was something we were dealing with internally as a Red Sox family, and I'm sorry that it came out, but yeah.
Well, I don't think Schilling even wants to be in the Hall of Fame. He said, if you vote for me in.
He's saying that now because he knows he's not getting in.
Yeah.
Why is he not getting in?
Because he doesn't deserve to.
Yeah, he's got a borderline.
He is borderline, and if you consider his playoff record, which is going to be a big deal as we go forward, as playoffs are becoming a bigger and bigger thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a case to be made that he should be there, but he's, of course, you know, he's going to twist it and blame it on his people don't like because of my politics, because I'm a Nazi collector and a right winger. Yeah. And
I don't see Don Manley saying that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my fool.
Jesus.
Okay. Man, do you have anybody?
Yeah, my fool of the year is John Middleton because we have no pitching in the dugout still. Go ahead, bye.
How about you, Mark? Who's your nominee?
Right now I'm a little bit confused with Major League Baseball rules, because during spring training, Francisco Lindor was blocking second base, and they called that the runner was safe. And then I see Rhys Hoskins, who you can take out of Philly, but you can't take him out of – you can take him out of Philly, but you can't take Philly out of him. Almost blow Jeff McNeil's knee out with a slide. Wait for it. Okay. And I'm like, you said nothing? I'm like, if you're trying to make things safe, what the hell's going on here? You know? I get it. You know, baseball players collide with second baseman all the time, and we've seen highlights from going back 50 years of guys just like bulldozing over on the second baseman. But I mean,
I remember Don Baylor knocking a guy all the way into left field one time.
Yeah. No, I mean, what was that? Who was that? Albert Bell just.
He didn't even slide. Yeah.
Yeah. Albert Bell. We saw Stubb Bando in the World Series, but I'm looking at that play there. Rhys Hoskins, I don't know, it was borderline. I'm not saying it was a dirty slide, but I mean.
It sounds like you are, Mark.
I'm just, but if baseball's trying to clean stuff up, if they're saying, hey, you're blocking the plate here, you can't do that, but yet you got a guy kind of slide a little bit out of the way, you know, like what do you want baseball players to do?
If I can paraphrase Mr. Hoskins.
Yeah, well, he said that once he got back to the dugout. Now, of course, the next day he had four RBIs. So
I'm like, yeah, he did.
And then got thrown behind, right?
Yeah, and then I immediately put behind him after his fourth at bat. So,
and then I immediately said, "Well, we could have used those runs the other day."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And didn't they make the bases bigger to avoid this blocking of the bases?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the slide, are you supposed to slide straight through or? Do you slide to the left? Because I need to know. So that way I can say, you know what? I don't like Rhys Hoskins as much.
You're not supposed to try to kill the second baseman.
But you're not supposed to blow somebody's knee out. And,
that's what I just
said.
And,
of course, it was a low throw from Batty at third.
That's what I'm saying. You're not supposed to try to kill the second baseman. Yeah. You're allowed to try to get in his way and kind of, like, F with his throw. But you're not supposed to, like, slide into him like you're trying to.
Yeah.
Like you're getting knocked down for goalie interference in hockey. You're not supposed to do that. No.
And what you're going to happen, you're going to have a big, you know, maybe one of your bigger second basemen or shortstops get injured on some, or third baseman on some play like that. And I'm going to say, well, you're okay back in April, game number two. So.
But I was going to say, this is, and I don't care about Rhys Hoskins. He's not on the team anymore. This goes back to the officiating. Stop it ahead of time. Don't wait for them to sort it out themselves because you're going to lose control of the situation.
Yeah.
And here we go again.
Yeah. Because in spring training, we saw Francisco Lindor, the ball beat the runner to second. He was in front of the base. The ball was waiting for the runner. Oh, well, you're blocking the base. You know, I can see if you're blocking the base as the ball's coming to you, but I mean, if you get the ball 2 seconds before the runner, how is that blocking the base? And that was a situation where the runner slid into the, you know, didn't try to slide and knock out Lindor. So I don't know. Baseball rules. One day an umpire calls it this way. The other day somebody calls it that way. It's going to be one of those long seasons, and the Mets are already pissing me off. So it's going to be very long. If this continues to be the case, so.
Well, you and me both, buddy. The fact they exist is. Really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Are you guys old enough to remember 1987 when they decided suddenly that they were going to enforce the balk rules?
And yeah, they had a lot of balks that year.
And all of a sudden, there were like 10 balks a game.
Yeah, like Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be calling anything on Dave Stewart. That's a mean-looking dude.
Not either.
He's a mean man. So, yeah, that's why I'm a little frustrated right now.
But. All right. So that's one time around the panel. Dave, you got another group of fools or another fool?
Oh, my gosh. Do I?
All right.
So I'm actually flip-flopping between a pair here, but I think I'm going to go with the big one, more high profile. So my next set of fools are the Chicago Bulls organization, former players, former stars, and especially the fans. And this comes from, of course, you know, COVID. We had COVID. We had no sports going on. And I don't know if this was
I know what you're gonna say.
Coincidence. Or if it was planned this way, maybe this was planned. Maybe Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen like caused COVID so that nothing would be on when The Last Dance came on Netflix and everybody had to watch.
I don't think Scottie Pippen had anything to do with that.
You were I still haven't watched it.
So it's part of the trend, which is the 30 for 30s, which are great, but stretched out to be way too long.
I watched a good one the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Chris Everett, and Martina Navratilova.
I haven't watched that one.
Mainly that was a really good one. I never knew that they were such good friends.
That I did know.
I remember the height of their rivalry. SNL did a skit like back in 89 when she retired. And
yes, Chris they showed Everett. That on it.
Yeah. She was going to sell real estate. And,
how many houses did you sell the other day? Oh, I sold 2 last week. I sold 4 yesterday.
So anyway.
Okay, sorry.
Michael Jordan, who is the greatest basketball player of all time, but I must say he's probably one of the worst basketball executives of all time, and nothing to write home about as an NBA owner. You know, The Last Dance was really all about Jordan, and I don't think it worked properly because, to me, it made him look like an ass. But but there was a narrative that was running through The Last Dance, which was really, and I thought it was in poor taste at the time, but the hatchet job that these guys were giving Jerry Krause. Hmm. Jerry Krause was the general manager that put together the Bulls. He was the architect. Yeah, absolutely. He drafted Jordan. He got Scottie Pippen out of Central Arkansas.
Nobody knew who Scottie Pippen was.
Nobody knew who he was. He got Tony Kukoc out of nowhere, right? Like he put this all together. And, you know, really, like, Jordan and Pippen, they hated him. Pippen was a horrible negotiator, just terrible. Negotiated himself a terrible deal, held it against Krause. And if you've ever seen Jerry Krause, he's not he doesn't look like Michael Jordan at all. You know, he was a rather portly fellow. And they would bully this guy, they would make fun of him, they called him crumbs. So, you know, all of this is happening, and of course, Jerry Krause is not around. He died years ago. So even when The Last Dance was on, that was kind of, I thought, in poor taste. But really where it went to the next level, and I'm not even going to get into, like, the serious Real Housewives drama that's between Jordan and Pippen themselves, because that's, like, next level.
Oh yeah,
but this one I thought maybe people were better than this, but they had a ceremony for, I guess, the Chicago Bulls are creating, like, their Ring of Honor or their Hall of Fame or whatever. So they brought people back. Of course, Jordan wasn't there because Pippen was there, or vice versa, or whatever. And of course, rightly so, they inducted Jerry Krause into this Hall of Fame, this Ring of Honor. So he's not there. They bring out his widow. So, I don't know, she's like 70 or whatever. And they boo her mercilessly.
How do you boo somebody's widow?
I know, it's like, wow. And yeah,
that's not a good look for Chicago fans.
Oh, I was shocked. And just, it's absolutely, I mean, there aren't even words to describe it. And, you know, fans being fans, I can only push that blame so far, because really, I lay the blame at the feet of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and the guys that made The Last Dance, because they pushed this narrative. And I mean, now, I don't know if you've caught this, there's a tour that's happening in Australia with Luke Longley and Scottie Pippen. It's called the No Bull Tour. And it's again, it's like this Real Housewives drama. It's just, yeah, it really upset me. And, you know, to me, that's like one of the low points of fandom at all. It's like, it's down there with you know, throwing beer bottles on the ice or the field or whatever, you know, disco demolition night. Like it's right in that wheelhouse. And honestly, I don't know if you guys have ever been to see the Bulls. One of the most overblown experiences ever. Like, to me, Chicago is not a good basketball city. They didn't support the Bulls before Jordan. They haven't really supported the Bulls after Jordan.
They still draw well. I think they draw tops in the league.
Yeah. You know what? Here's what you do. You go to a Blackhawks game one night, and you go to a Bulls night the next night.
Yeah.
It's like going to a party one night and the library the next. There's no comparison.
Yeah, it's a big arena. It's a little bit outdated in some regards. Those are magical times in the 90s. My wife will tell me she grew up during that era in Chicago. And, I mean, God, it was hard. How could you not be a Bulls fan? And there's a lot of people that I talk to that says, I will never forget Jerry for what he did, breaking up the team in, what, 98, 99. But
no Jerry, no team.
Yeah, that's, you know.
It's that simple.
Like, I'm looking back now. I'm sure Michael could have found a way to say, hey, I'll stay. Let's work something out. But Michael also tells everybody that he was cut from his high school team. No, you weren't. You didn't make varsity that year. You were still on the JV team. But he this story has been told for years. So getting kind of tired of listening to that one as well.
The NBA is the Real Housewives of the sports world. You don't really care about what they actually did in life, but you focus on all the drama around them. Hey, the drama is more interesting than the game.
For those of you who are contributing to the show in our chat box, thanks. And I do see you, and I was trying to respond, but I couldn't figure out how. So
I'm trying to figure that out, too.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate your feedback, and it's great. I'm glad you like the new format here, and you can thank Dan for that. Dan has done all this work, so
just do it. Just respond to them verbally.
Well, yeah, that's what I did, but I was waiting for an opportunity to jump in.
Oh yeah, just cut up. Dave, shut up. I have to answer. It's part of the
show where we reach out for complaining guy.
Right. Yeah, I love that line. The Real Housewives of the sports world.
You know what? That is the name of the episode.
All right. So to kind of piggyback on your point, my next group of fools, it's going to be a group of fans. It's going to be Neanderthal Twitter fans. For those of you who've been paying attention, we lost a couple more hockey players within the past month due to suicide. Chris Simon. And I can't think who the other one was. He wasn't a guy who was in the NHL very long. He played mostly in Europe. I can't think of his name. And think just today. Think of Vontae Davis. Yeah, yep. Vontae Davis.
Yeah.
Was found dead.
What?
Vontae Davis was found dead in his home today.
Yeah.
Played for the Dolphins and the Colts. And
yes, I know who he is.
Cup of coffee with the Bills. He's the guy who retired halfway through a game. He said, screw it, I've had enough, I'm done.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was found dead in his home today. Foul play is not suspected, so that makes me think CTE in effect. But every time that you see referees now breaking up a fight in hockey, or you see somebody complaining about, oh, the sport is being wussified. It's not the same. It was so much better in the old days. Look what the old days got us. How long is this list of dead enforcers from the 90s now?
Yeah, the sport was better when 40-year-olds looked like they were 70-year-olds and 30-year-olds looked like they were 80-year-olds. Yeah, that's better. It was better when everybody was dying in car accidents and self-inflicted gunshots. I love old hockey.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I miss a good scrap.
Sure.
And part of me, like, yeah, let them drop the gloves. I love to see a good fight in a game. But I don't want to see guys literally killing themselves for my entertainment.
No, sorry. Nope.
Not worth
the money, not worth the heartache.
Remember being at an autograph show back in the 90s, and there was an old football player there. Played for the Giants. I couldn't tell you who it was. But this guy was – so I was about 30, 35 at the time, so I was a young man myself. This gentleman was in his 70s somewhere, and looking at him sitting at the autograph table, man, this guy looked like he got up and thrown me across the gym. He was in incredible shape. But then he had to be helped out of his chair. And all I could think of is this guy gave up his body to play football so we could cheer him on. I mean, he was in great shape, but his knees were gone. So, he had a hard time getting up out of the chair. Now I'm reading and hearing about these guys who, played a particular role in the NHL in the 90s. And what you think of Wade Belak, who else? Probert gone.
Bugard.
Yeah. I would think the list is at least a dozen people long now.
It seems to be everybody except for Ty Domi.
Well, Ty Domi has a cement block for a head, so there's no CTE there.
Yeah, he does.
There's not much. I was gonna say there's not much going on up there. So
you can't CT when there's no E, right?
You can't hurt. you can't hurt something that's not there. And I can't wait to hear the response. He's actually really smart. Okay. Well,
but
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got two sides. I've got an angel and devil on me. I want to see the fights, but you know what? I can now separate myself and say, look, I don't want to see these guys literally killing themselves for my entertainment.
Nope.
So every time I read a comment that says, oh, they're wussifying the game. Oh, they're taking out, they're making it such a pansy ass sport. You know what? If you want to see two guys beat each other up, there are sports for that. Go watch MMA. Go watch boxing.
Go watch wrestling.
I want to watch hockey. So shame on you, successful at Twitter.
You cesspool, which was made worse, as Misty says here, made worse after Elon Musk. That's not political. That's fact. Just want to put that out there.
I'm like the only guy who's still sitting in his seat when the fights are happening at the game. Yeah. It does nothing for me, and I'm not. It's not hockey. I think it's a cop out when people say, oh, well, you know, we need to fire up our team. Like, come on, you're in the NHL and you're making millions and you need to be fired up.
And back in the day, it was like, oh, the air enforcer's out. Let's put our enforcer out. So everybody knew what was going on. You're not doing it to fire up your team. You're just staging a fight. Even back then, I like the organically charged fights where it just happens because two guys just pissed off at each other. Okay, but the stage one where, oh, you're a tough guy, you're a tough guy. Okay, let's do it.
I
was never a fan of.
In junior, they really cracked down on those. Like, because, you know, they're trying to show up for scouts and whatnot, right? So, of course, they would, like.
Those kids are 18, Jesus.
Yeah, and they would, like, you know, text each other before, hey, you and me, this time, da-da-da, right? And they really put a stop to that. And I can totally understand why. Like, when you are running a junior hockey team, right, you're taking kids, right? You are responsible for those kids. And, you know, are you going to try and sell your product to parents, not parents fans, parents of players who are, you know, going to allow their kids to come in and get their heads beat in? Or are you going to let them go down to college in the States where, you know,
any head contact is an automatic ejection?
Yeah. So I know what I would do, but
I remember my days of playing in the beer league and there would always be somebody out there on the ice who decided, you know what, I'm going to be Terry O'Reilly tonight. And I remember one time just taking my stick and cross-checking a guy in the face, said, don't do that anymore. We got to go to work tomorrow. So, you know, oh, well.
Yeah.
The cross-check to the face probably wasn't the best way to get my message across, but it worked.
Well, I mean, but it did get the message across, though.
It did. He was good the rest of the night.
I bet he was. Well, that hurt. Yeah.
Mark, do you have anything else?
You know, a couple things. It comes to women's basketball, and you know, I come from a generation when there's a lot of guys who poke fun of women's basketball and they critique it, and they're, you know, the WNBA, nobody watches it. But I mean, I have never heard so many people talk about about the women's tournament. I've never heard so many people talk about, like, Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese.
Watching them right now.
Yeah, watch them right now. And then you see Angel Reese. It seems like every day she's, like, doing something stupid, you know, putting up the L or doing the wave.
I think she's just playing the heel.
I guess she is, yeah. And if that works for her, if that moves her up in the WNBA draft or that gets more attention, and she's young, but – like, just show the scoreboard, Angel. That's all you have to do. I just don't like people playing the heel. I guess I kind of, you know, honor Arthur Ashe and Jackie Robinson on how they play. But I get it. I'm an old guy to her. So
WNBA, here's something to think about. Those girls, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, when they get drafted to the WNBA, they're taking a pay cut.
A huge pay cut.
Huge pay cut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now.
And this is not under the table. This is like legit. Like they're both making over $1 million in NIL money.
Well, yeah, if they go play in Russia, let's hope that they are smart enough.
I think Caleb Williams was number one. And then it was like Caitlin Clark and then Angel Reese.
Four of the top five were women. Yeah. For the NIL money.
All of college sports.
Well, I'm going to tell you, apparently the Fever, since they're picking first this year, all their season tickets have been sold out. If you go to StubHub and TickPick, the tickets are pricey. I mean, I've never thought I'd see a high demand for Fever tickets.
Is Caitlin Clark from Indiana or is she from Iowa?
She's not from Indiana. She's is she from Iowa? I don't even know where she's from.
Iowa? I don't know. She's a Midwestern girl, whatever she is, right?
Yeah. But yeah, but they're all about her coming out here. Let me see. She's from Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay.
Nice. So, and like we're already anticipating her to come out here and you know bring life back to that Fever team. But, you know, I don't know. So part of me, it's like I enjoy watching the women's game. I enjoy the team play. I enjoy how these girls stick around for 4 years. It's exciting. You see some great teamwork. You see some awesome shooting. You see some, you know, some good versus evil. Okay, I'll be the heel. You'll be the good girl. You know, trash talking, stuff that sometimes you miss in college basketball for the men's because everybody leaves after 1 or 2 years. And, you know, you don't get a chance to, you know, really see your teams or your college, you know, develop for 3-4 years. So,
but hopefully, South Carolina right now, huh?
Yeah.
Now, did you see in the game, where was it? I can't remember which one it was, but one of them, they had the 3-point line was wrong at one of the baskets.
That was just yesterday, Dave.
That's crazy. Talk about a fool. Whoever's responsible for that, they're a fool.
Great googly moogly. Yeah.
Oh, it's not okay for McEnroe to be a heel. He was a doofus.
Yeah. No, but it's, you know, I just never thought I'd be in an era where we're talking about college basketball for the women's and just as much as we are with the men's sometimes. Or even, you know, like even today, I went to pick up my credentials for the NIT and they were starting the women's WBIT. And I'm like, huh, I got a pass for that as well. Maybe I'll watch that Wednesday night. So, yeah, just great, great basketball going around.
What was that noise?
Oh, I think
your lights are idea. On. Sound like the Eddie Murphy skit. Your lights are on.
Your lights are on.
Hold on. No, I have my somebody's messaging me on Facebook. So, but here's the thing. Here's my message to the guys, and this goes out to guys around my age or older. I'm done with the jokes. I'm done you talking crap about women's basketball. These are athletes. These are some of the best athletes, best players on the world. Just shut up. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I'm not a huge fan of like the indoor football league, but I'm not going to go on an indoor football league website and start talking trash about the players. Just don't say anything. If you, only 25 people are going to watch. Oh, why would you buy a ticket? There's only going to be 5 people there. Just be quiet. Don't be those guys.
Hey, I've been to 3 WNBA finals. And each time it was in a banged out arena. So I don't want to hear that. That's just
stop criticizing Brittany Griner. You know, if these are the same guys that complain about Brittany Griner and what she did and her freedoms, or the same people complain about they're not making enough money and they're paying too much for gas. Well, good. Go to Russia and complain to Putin how much your salary should be. Shut up. Okay.
It's something that happened today on a friend of mine's Facebook page. He came out as bisexual last year. He's dating a transgender woman. And on Sunday, he posted 2 different posts. Happy Easter, separately.
Yeah.
And to his girlfriend, Happy Trans Visibility Day. This guy
came on to
a mutual friend of mine came on, well, was, and said, I don't like this, that you're saying this on Easter. And, well, we're still, well, I'm still waiting for his answer if he's stupid or he doesn't know how to read a calendar, but we'll find out soon. And no, I'm not nice about that because you're either, you just don't know and you're ignorant and you won't use the tool you're on to say something so stupid, or you know what you're doing and you're being an a-hole. Just like women's basketball or women's hockey or women's sports in general, it's like a movie or something. You like a movie. I go on my own page or at a different group and I talk to other people who like this thing, talk about, and then one schmuck comes in like, I don't even know why I didn't like it. What are you doing here? Go away.
Yeah, we can like different things. It's allowed.
Jesus Christ. And just while I'm on my soapbox, well, it's just my opinion about transgender. That's not an opinion. A person's rights is not an opinion that should be had. Shut up. Anyway. Now, the Jersey Boys were on soapboxes. I'm done now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I hate the fact that you go on social media and somebody who wants to talk about women's basketball, you know, or talk about Brittany Griner or talk about Caitlin Clark, it's somebody's got to butt in with something political. And I guess that's okay. You want to do that, but I'm not here to have a debate or discussion with you about it. And, you know, for the things you complain about, folks protesting, police brutality, or taking a knee, you're also complaining about something that would not be looked upon in Russia as well. And since when is Russia the ultimate country to live in?
Why is that your motto of everything? Yeah. Okay. Well,
anyway. I think like Misty said a little while ago, it's kind of the scourge of social media. It's easy to say, you know, you say that right to my face, you're probably going to get a knuckle sandwich. So, but it's easy to say it behind a keyboard.
This doesn't happen in Canada, correct?
Welcome to Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
See a more wretched.
What are you smoking? Of course it happens.
What happened in Canada? T what a division, and it wasn't in French and English. Was that? That was on Chris Creamer's website.
I'm not sure. Yeah, there's a lot going on in Quebec right now.
The language police are in full force.
Oh yeah, there's a lot going on in Quebec right now.
Misty, I agree with that message, but I can't let that through. So, but yes. Tucker, I can't say it out loud because I can't curse on this podcast or shouldn't curse on this podcast, but I'll just say the more polite version of that. Just stick to what you know. You're a frozen food heir. Go microwave something. It's fine.
So can we move on from this slightly depressing topic? Yeah.
Depressing, isn't it? You know,
I got a really quick one. So, Paul, you like this college hockey? Yes.
Yes, I do like college hockey, Dave.
You know this one. You know this one's coming. The NCAA made a regional site at the Centene Community Ice Center, which is the home of the Lindenwood Lions in.
So, you know, somebody get on me because I made the same point, Dave, and somebody get on me about it. Well, there's a major market. It's St. Louis.
Yes, but that major market, that's fine. But they were playing in the Enterprise Center. They were playing in the Centene Community Ice Center, Enterprise which Center houses 2,500.
Enterprise Center was too big.
Well, who did they have there? They had Michigan, Michigan State, North Dakota, Western Michigan. Those teams all regularly welcome between 3,000 and 6,000 per game.
Yep.
Tickets for the regionals were well over $1,000 because there just weren't enough of them. Like, who thought that out? Like, I don't have any problem with
Lindenwood paid a pretty penny to host the regional. It's as simple
but that, as that. That venue, that wasn't a good venue. Sorry.
No, it was not. And I would agree with you on that. Despite what my good friend Scott said. All right. So, yeah. And what size buildings do all those schools play in? I mean, like North Dakota's got like the nicest college rink in the whole country.
Yeah, that's like a 9,000. Michigan and yeah, Michigan State and are Michigan about 6-7.
Yeah.
Western Michigan's about 6. Like, you at least got to play in a – you got to hold your regional in a decent-sized
– Yeah. In New England, it rotates. There's 5 cities venue. That regularly host regionals. You know, they play in Bridgeport. They play in Springfield, Worcester, Providence, and Manchester. Springfield's 8,000. The rest of those are over 10. Providence banged out their 12,000-seat arena this weekend. So,
well, why don't they play at the Bentley Arena? Come on.
Even Schneider Arena in Providence College is 3,000 people. So I don't know. I don't make those decisions. They don't pay me enough to do that.
Like when Alabama Huntsville was hosting the Frozen Four, did they play at Alabama Huntsville? No. They played in Tampa.
That was the finals, though, Dave. That wasn't the regionals.
Yeah. Well, they were hosting the finals.
Well, when Alaska Anchorage hosted the finals, they played in Anaheim, for crying out loud.
Did they really?
Yes, they did, awesome. Really. all right, guys. That was kind of a fun topic. So we're going to wrap it up right there on Dave's Old Man Rant. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Get off my lawn!
I still have
a honorable mention to honorable mention to Fanatics.
Oh yeah, we did a whole show about that.
Have you seen
Sweaty Double Down on it.
There you go.
I feel though, Dan, you at least have to say throw Nike in there, because I don't think it's all about Fanatics. I think it's Nike and Fanatics together. And
yeah, fair enough. Nike, you too. Color. You
well,
too.
Fanatics gained what they wanted.
I stopped being mad about it until I saw the Phillies third jersey with the cream color that's now like piss yellow. I'm like, okay, guys. Well, okay. That's what you want.
Like the Mariners this weekend wore a teal jersey that wasn't teal.
Well, this was not green.
Maybe it was just the clubhouse attendance.
Yeah, somebody messed up the laundry.
Yeah, that's
That commercial with Charles Barkley and Samuel Jackson and Spike Lee going on messing up all the jerseys. I think they've gotten in everybody's laundry.
Where they put the thing and the refs come out pink with the pink shirts. Yeah.
Hey Dan, where can our listeners follow you online?
You can follow me on all social media platforms at DanLaw83.
Mark, you got any stadium journeys planned, and where can our listeners follow along?
Yeah, I'm going to the NIT semifinals. It's going to be Georgia versus Seton Hall, go Pirates, and then it's Indiana State versus Utah in the nightcap, and hopefully Seton Hall versus Indiana State in the finals, my boyhood team to my alumnus team. So hopefully it should be a good time for basketball here. For Indiana State fans, and
they're playing at Butler, right?
They're playing at a Butler, sold out, 9,400, something like that. Wow. It's nice when you have a local team play, and I have some friends coming in to watch the game tomorrow with me that I haven't seen in a few years, so that's exciting. And you know, it's amazing what a winning basketball program can do for graduates and fans. So it's an exciting time, and hopefully the team, the coach, doesn't head off to St. Louis to coach the Billikens. That's kind of the subplot. But check me out. I'm on Ballpark Hunter on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter. And I've been doing a lot of polls and whatnot up there lately. So check that out. Send me a message. Follow, subscribe. You know, we'll try to try to get back to all messages. So
Keep your eyes open there for Larry Bird sighting there.
Yeah, we'll see. Apparently, they're opening up a museum, but Magic's going to be there, but not him. I don't know who told me that, but hopefully he's in. That'd be nice. That'd be nice to see him.
And the winner of the NIT tournament gets to say, yeah, we're number 70.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. A lot of people wish Indiana State would have made it. They didn't. Okay, just move on to the NIT.
What would you rather do, make the NCAAs and lose in the first round, or have a good run in the NIT?
I don't know. I don't know. I think most people rather lose in the upper bracket.
Me too. Tournament.
I think it depends on what school you are. If you're if you're a power five school, then you'd rather go to the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're a small school, if you're in a small conference, if you're an Indiana State,
if you're mid-major, like it was nice to see Seton Hall in it. I get to see Seton Hall. Indiana State got to play three more games in front of full crowd. So, you know, there are some positives, and just hopefully next year everybody comes back, coach and Bob Robbie, and you know, we make another run. Hopefully this time in the upper bracket, not the lower.
Maybe it's a stepping stone. Let's hope, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, Dave, any stadium journeys planned for you, and where can our listeners follow you?
Yes, follow me at ProFan9, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Got review coming up for the Toronto Raptors next week, and also the Toronto Rock as they're kind of finishing up their term in Hamilton because they're getting turfed because of renovations. They have to go to
Mississauga. Are they knocking down that whole building in Hamilton?
Almost. Yeah. Almost. But yeah, follow me, ProFan9.
All right, and let's see. For me, follow my stadium journeys on Twitter and Instagram at PuckManRI. What do I have planned? You know, an unfortunate byproduct of getting a lot of PA jobs is that it's really cut back on my traveling. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't think it's either. It's just a thing. So this weekend I will be – you could find me at Murray Stadium all weekend. I am the PA announcer, the official PA announcer now of Brown Baseball. I'm doing every game the rest of the season for them. So that's where I'll be this weekend as they continue their Ivy League schedule. So doubleheader on Saturday and a single game on Sunday. Next weekend, I don't have anything booked, so I think I'll be hitting the road for Stadium Journey, probably doing some college baseball, most likely in the New Haven area because we've got a lot of college baseball reviews that need to be updated. Quinnipiac, Yale, Fairfield, Sacred Heart, I think all need updating. So I'll be at one or two or three of those four schools next weekend. Again, PuckManRI. And remember, you can find all of our stadium reviews, news items, and other feature stories on the website, stadiumjourney.com, social media channels, all across the board, at Stadium Journey. For old versions of the Stadium Journey podcast, or let's call them classic, let's not call them old, search HIAC Talk Radio. Network, HIAC Talk Radio Network, wherever you look for your favorite podcasts, we'll be there. If you would rather watch the podcast, go to Stadium Journey's YouTube page. All the classic episodes are there. If you'd like to be part of our live streams, and thanks to those of you who followed along today, every other Monday night at 7 Eastern and on Dan Law, across Dan's social media channels. That's Dan Law 83, for those of you who weren't listening the first time. We will be back in 2 weeks. That puts us on tax day, April 15th. We will go over the tax records of some of the bigger contracts in sports world. No, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. So that is tax day here in the United States, Dave. That's what April 15th
is. Yeah, we got a whole 2 more weeks.
And as always, everyone, thanks for your support. Thanks for joining us tonight. For Dan, Mark, and Dave, this is Paul wishing you all safe journeys and close games. See you again soon.